From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 10th day of September 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Agricultural economist Gary Schnitke will be here to talk about the mitigation program the United States Department of Agriculture has put together to compensate producers for income loss because of the trade and tariff policies of the Trump administration, at least until those are settled. And then we'll take up the weather forecast, that with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. And oh, we should also discuss what's been happening in the cash grain market with the folks out at the Andersons in Champaign County, Illinois, right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago for the day. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being with us this afternoon. I sure do appreciate that. I made note that soybeans, at midday at least, and you and I are recording just a bit early as I'm in Fargo, North Dakota again this week, and we'll be at the Big Iron Show for a couple of days this week. We'll come to you from that event tomorrow, maybe Wednesday as well, but we're recording early today. A little bit of a jump up. I take it some of that is on maybe the weather and some pretty good export inspection numbers, too.
Yeah, we continue to ship out beans, what we sold, to non-traditional customers, and they're picking up the slack, and you know, they're still staying fairly aggressive. We've got some fairly cheap beans. You look at the discount to the other countries and the wide basis levels, is actually a good buy opportunity. And we did see a sale of 132,000 tons of beans to unknown destinations. So hopefully we can keep that news going. As you did touch on there, man, some significant rain events in the southern two-thirds of Illinois, Indiana, and the Ohio River Valley, and up to 8-9 particularly 10 inches, and so low-lying grounds, you know, going to be kind of sloppy here for a while, if not see some crop damage. This afternoon's crop conditions report, we'll keep an eye on that, see if there is some seasonal deterioration along with some weather deterioration. Big weather event here as we go into the weekend. We've got several hurricanes, tropical storms lined up, heading towards the U.S., if not Mexico, here as we move into next week. So we'll monitor that. As far as the landfall, be the Carolinas, not a whole lot of production in that area. But when you a few bushels here, a few bushels there, it could maybe be a little concern, particularly quality in those areas. The soybeans, technically looking fairly good. We've got an 8 to 9 week cycle low recorded here last week. We're bouncing up against last week's highs. The November's at 851.5. If we can poke that out, maybe we can see the technicians come in and see a little buying interest come in to get some halfway 50% retracements back up to the highs here we had in early August. Main event, though, will be the monthly supply-demand report on Wednesday, and trade is dialed in to see a slightly higher bean yield, and carry-out estimates are up in this 850 to 900 million bushel bracket. So we'll see how they handle the production number, and also if they up the demand a little bit, at least on the crush side of the equation there, Todd.
So what is the trade expecting now for the soybean yield and the crop production number? It's at 51.6 as of August from USDA. Anything above that would be pretty big.
Yeah, some of the private guys are 53, if not higher. These beans have a lot of pods. They're loaded in some areas. You know, we'll probably see some fairly good bean yields if we can see the crop finish the season in good conditions. The trade range is anywhere from 50.9 to 53.8 bushels to the acre. The average trade guess is 52.2, and I imagine we're probably going to be a little closer to 53 if they got some samples to work with and show a lot of pods. On the corn side of the equation, last month we were at 178.4 bushels to the acre. The trade estimates 175.5 to 180 bushels to the acre. And the average trade guess is 177.8, so we're about 0.6 bushels below last month. Overall production, we're still talking about 14.5 billion bushels. And on the bean side, you know, we're pushing above this 4.6 billion bushel area. Corn carryout, you know, 1.6, that's not burdensome. That's still, you know, fairly doable in the supply-demand balance sheet, as end users will probably look at that number and say, hey, you know, even though we've got a big crop, I'm going to have to probably gather some coverage here as we go into early winter.
Any expectation that we'll see burdensome supplies, and I think this already may be the case when we look at the world ending stocks and what those might look like for corn, soybeans, and wheat. At least at this point, I think maybe the trade is expecting things on the corn and soybeans to go up. Certainly wheat looks like it may come down just a bit.
Yeah, wheat continues to have that declining trend like we saw on the corn over a year ago. Last month, world-ending stocks on wheat was 273 million metric tons. Ideas we could be for this new crop, wheat carryout, down to about 257 million metric tons. And so we'll continue to see a little decline there. Whereas the corn-ending stocks, 193 million metric tons. This year we're going to be 154, but we're up from the last report just slightly in there. So we continue to see wheat and corn world-ending stocks compared to a year ago much higher. Whereas the beans, 95.5 million metric tons last year. This year we're seeing that being bumped up. Last month is 105.9. Trade feels that might be closer to 107 million metric tons. So the bean-ending stocks continue to climb, whereas the feed grains continue to shrink.
Late last week, I think some of the McLean County farmers, where you are there in the Bloomington-Normal area, were in the field. Been drier, at least until over the weekend. What kind of yield reports were you hearing from them as it related to corn and or soybeans, if they happened to be in?
There was a field of beans cut, and I've not heard what that field produced as of yet, but corn's fairly active on the eastern part of the county, and it's about 10 to 15% below last year. So at least the producers we're visiting with are seeing a little disappointing yields. But I did hear a seed corn dealer do a little a little bit of corn, and it was pretty high. So we'll see as we move forward here towards mid-late week as these guys get back in the field, as the skies are supposed to be sunny and things dry out a whole bunch here, Todd.
And here in North Dakota, I was to the west of Fargo earlier today talking with a producer, and not his, but another field that I've got a good line on for soybeans, went 41. That was after sugar beet. That's not a rotation, of course, we use in our part of the world, but their assessment was that that was a really good bean crop, so we'll see how that works out. And I think they'll be moving about the same time everybody else is. The trip I made on Sunday to Fargo tells me that the crop staging, at least as you go from Champaign to Madison, Wisconsin, to Minneapolis, and then over to Fargo, sure looked about the same across the whole of that part of the world. So we'll see how it runs. Maybe another couple weeks before the combines are rolling super big time. Corn, of course, starting in the southern part of the state of Illinois sooner rather than later. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, that'd be about it. We've got, you know, kind of a big week weather-wise, and we've got a big week report-wise, so we'll kind of see how things unfold here seasonally. The last couple years, the market kind of bottoms this time of the year, so hopefully that's the case again, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Gary Schnitke now joins us from the University of Illinois, Farm Doc Daily. He's an agricultural economist here to take us through the sign-up process for the market facilitation payments. These are the payments that are coming from the United States Department of Agriculture as a result of the tariff and trade policies of the Trump administration. You've been going through them, and USDA, most producers will have gotten, I believe by now, at least a postcard, maybe something else in the mail that says it's time to sign up.
How do they go about doing it?
So sign up, and again, they have till January 15th to sign up for the market facilitation program. And if you're a corn and soybean producer and haven't harvested your crop, there's not a lot of hurry to get this done, because before you get a payment, you have to have the crop harvested and your production evidence in place. But you begin the process by signing a form CC910, and it's a pretty simple, straightforward form. You sign that form and indicate that you will be taking market facilitation program payments.
Is that a form that most producers sign already, or is it a different one? That one seems to ring a bell, but there may be another one.
This is a new form, and it's a new form specifically related to the market facilitation program. Sign up, and then as crops are harvested, there's a section on that form where you indicate the total production of corn, soybeans, wheat will have a payment, as well as hogs and dairy. Pork and dairy and wheat producers could get payments pork payments will be based on August 1 inventory. Dairy will be based on MPP program. So those are known, and wheat harvest has probably been competed. So once that evidence is in place, those commodities can complete that line on the form with their production for the year.
You said evidence, so that tells me, how do they confirm what the production was in each of those?
So for corn, soybeans, and wheat, the simplest thing that farmers can do is bring or have their crop insurance worksheets completed, and that will be their evidence. If they don't have crop insurance, it'll be settlement sheets, or don't have settlement sheet and have livestock, there will be, you know, weigh tickets and that sort of thing. But for most producers that have crop insurance, the simplest form way of providing that evidence will be the crop insurance worksheets. They actually don't have to provide those at the time they're signed up, but this program will likely be heavily audited, so having those in place will be a good thing. And again, for corn and soybeans, we don't know, you know, the harvest isn't complete, so there's going to only be one soybean line, and it will be the total amount of production for that commodity.
It looks like to me that this can actually all be done online, and that would be what USDA would prefer.
There will have to be signatures. There will be you could download the form online. I think you have to email it in, but yeah, a lot of this could be done without going into the office. It's actually, we had a description of it from Farm Service Agency. It seems like a pretty straightforward program, but again, we have to have harvest complete, production evidence in place, and then we can indicate what that commodity production was. And again, that the form has to be signed by January 15th. We could begin that sign up process the day after Labor Day, but again, there's no real hurry, particularly if you're corn and soybeans and haven't got your harvest done yet.
When you think about it, what materials would you have gathered together in front of you when you were going to complete this process?
So you would get I'm going to assume you have your crop insurance take crop insurance. If that's the case, you'll complete your crop insurance worksheets for the year, and that will be your production evidence. Each producer that has a production will have to have their own form, so that will be handled. If power of attorneys for share rent landowners will work, so the power of attorney will work for the farmer if they want to provide that evidence for the share rent landowner.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That, of course, Gary Schnitke from the University of Illinois, agricultural economist, talking about the market facilitation payments that are coming from the United States Department of Agriculture in compensation for the Trump administration trade policies to this point in time. That is round one. Should there need to be a round two, that will be announced later. For instance, on the soybeans, the payment is $1.65, though round one is one half of that, or half of the production. So you can think of it either as 82.5 cents a bushel, or as $1.65 on half of your bushels. And it's a penny a bushel on corn, so half a cent a bushel on corn. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, on this Monday, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is now here. She's from the Andersons in Champaign County, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Amy. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Todd. Thanks.
Well, as we move really close to the harvest season, and you can tell me whether you've taken anything in yet or not, what are the expectations of producers and for you as it relates to price and basis for both corn and soybeans?
Sure. So I'll answer the first question first because that's a little bit easier. We have seen a little bit of new crop corn, a few loads of new crop soybeans here towards the end of last week. Corn started trickling in Tuesday. Moisture's anywhere from 20 to 28 on corn, beans still close to 15%. Obviously, we had a very large rain event for a majority of our draw territory, if not all of it, over the weekend. So we're at a halt for the time being. Probably Wednesday, I would say, would be the soonest we would see that resume. Too early to really report anything of substance yet. But as far as price and basis action through the course of harvest, we're seeing historically low basis levels, just like the rest of the country is. Some of that due to crop size, some of it due to logistics, some of it due to trade war. And I think at this point, growers' expectations is that we could see that improve at some point in time, although it'll be much more telling once we get some substantial yield reports coming in. Logistically, we'll have to make sure that everything can flow through. And while there's been a lot of space built, it'll be interesting to see if we do have a larger than typical crop, how all the facilities adjust to that. I guess I'm in the camp that we could see those improve towards the latter half of harvest in corn. Beans have really been the commodity that's been hurt in the basis and in the futures price, obviously, as well. That's a little bit tougher for me to put a handle on. I think a lot of it's going to have to do if we can come to an agreement with China in the relatively near future to see if we can put some of that demand back into the market and hopefully get some real values out there. At some point, hopefully we'll be able to get a better handle on what those values might be, which could come towards the latter half of harvest as well, as we start to see people need to have their needs met later throughout the season. But time will tell on that. That's a little bit tougher to predict at this point.
I made note, and you mentioned logistics, that Elaine Cubb, with Elaine Mastering the Grain Market, she's out of Elkhorn, Nebraska, and is in South Dakota as well occasionally. I don't know where she picked this up from, but had tweeted out this past week a soybean pile rather than a corn pile beginning to grow. You talked about logistics. Do you think that the crop size of both of these, the corn and the soybeans, big enough that we'll see more soybean piles around this year, or some, actually?
You know, I definitely wouldn't rule that out. There's carry in the bean market that would substantiate holding on to more, in addition to the logistics that we had talked about earlier. I don't know how much we'll see that in the central Illinois region, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see more pop up. No different than what I think we'll see from the farmer perspective, and we'll see some storage get used or flipped to bean space just because of the carry and because of the weakness in the basis.
And how much do you expect to put on the ground this fall there at the Andersons?
We typically put out about 4 million corn, and I would say we're positioned to do so again this year.
Have you been able to really get the elevator cleaned out ahead of time so that you've got space under roof too?
We do have space under roof. It has been challenging this year. We've just seen a little bit slower performance from the rail market where we sit. A lot of that due to the demands of the power industry from the rail perspective. So it's been a little bit more of a challenge, but yes, I think we should be positioned well for harvest.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Amy Sage is with the Andersons. When we come back, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. Well, on this Monday afternoon here in the Closing Market Report, let's take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Thanks, Mark, for being with us today.
Yeah, glad to be here, Todd.
Let's begin in the southeast, where I know Hurricane Florence is taking aim. What kind of impact will that have there? And does that mean anything for the Midwest?
Yeah, Hurricane Florence has its eyes set here on, looks to be the Carolinas, but even a potential larger impact as this storm currently is a large diameter storm. Storm, it actually is in the process of strengthening already at a category 3, and conditions remain favorable for further strengthening as it progresses towards the southeast and mid-Atlantic regions here coming up for later on this week. As it looks right now, some of the kind of initial impacts here, some of the outer bands and increase in winds will begin to take place across eastern North Carolina, eastern South Carolina, and southern Virginia coming up here early on Thursday. And then it looks like later in the day into then early Friday would be the time frame of Florence coming ashore. And then the one item of concern here is that once the storm moves on shore, it will likely be stalling out over a period of time. And kind of reminiscent of what happened with Harvey over Houston and southeastern Texas a year ago. And with the overall impacts from Florence, certainly very strong winds, 100 mile per hour winds in the coastal areas, even extending into some of the inland areas here as the storm here goes on shore. But in the end, what might be even the most significant and most impactful item will be, looks to be tremendous, even some catastrophic flooding across areas of the Carolinas, where upwards of 20 inches is possible. Still some debate in the exact location of where that will be located, but in and around central eastern North Carolina is the right now kind of the main area, but there's still some uncertainty as to the specific locations there.
And then how does that back into the Corn Belt, if at all?
Yeah, as crops here in the southeast get impacted in a big way for from Florence. Here in the Midwest, actually, Florence will be helping to dry things out here. And the next 7 to 8 days, barely a drop of rain here in the Midwest. And overall, getting into a much less active pattern, which is needed following the very stormy, very active conditions, which have actually increased some concern about the high river water levels here and some disruptions with shipping and overall grain loading.
And after that 7 day period, do we stay dry in the Midwest? Because harvest will be in full swing by then.
Yeah, there will be some rain activity, but at this time, no sign of any repeat of what we've had here with the very active and in some cases some record-setting rains that we've seen over the past week or two.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're very welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. You can always hear it again online at WILLAG.org. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.